I return again to James chapter 3. As you will have seen from the order of service, our subject this morning is concerning the tongue and the taming of it, the taming of the tongue. Let's bow in prayer, please. Our gracious Father, as we come now to thy precious word, we ask for thy blessing to rest upon it. We have read it together. We pray that the selfsame Spirit who has penned and preserved these words down through the ages, that he might come now and be our teacher, and reveal to us the things of Christ, and build us up in our faith. And we would ask our Father that we might not be merely hearers of thy word, but that we would be doers of it, and put into practice such things as are revealed to us today. We ask these things in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Our tongues can get us into all kinds of trouble. I'm reminded of the story of a young preacher. He grew up in a large city and had never really moved beyond the suburbs of that city in his life. That was until he married a young girl from the country. And when he was in Bible college, he was assigned a temporary place in a church in a very rural community. And as one of his first sermons, he tried very hard to fit in with his congregation and to endear himself to them, him being a city boy now out in the country. Maybe he tried a little bit too hard, because with his wife sitting in the front pew, he began his introduction by saying, "I never saw a cow until I met my wife." Well, it wasn't really what he meant to say, but our tongues get us into all kinds of trouble. And this third chapter of the book of James is dedicated almost exclusively to the subject that's in everyone's mouth, our tongues. And James reminds us that our tongue can be the most dangerous part of our body. And he warns us about the trouble that can be caused when we let our tongues loose. Because while our tongue is such a small member of our body, it's no small matter when it comes to our spiritual life. Indeed, James says in verse 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Well, unless you never open your mouth to speak, the truth of this passage will certainly apply to us all. And when we notice carefully what James has to say about that little menace that lives inside our mouths, we would do well to take heed to what the Scriptures are teaching. In verse 2, James reminds us how desirable it is to have a tongue that is sanctified. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." How desirable it is to have a sanctified tongue. Yet James concedes that none of us are even close to being sinless. We all fall and fail in so many ways, and yet he contends that if a man were able to keep himself from sinning in the things that he says, that he would have made great progress in every area and aspect of his life. In other words, if we could ever get our tongues sanctified, cleaned from sin, controlled by the Spirit, that we would be going a long way towards our efforts in living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it ought to be our prayer then that our tongues would be holy and not harmful. Now, a sanctified tongue would mean some very important things in our life. It would speak firstly of the maturity that we have developed. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, James says. Now the word perfect doesn't mean sinless or having no faults or flaws. The word translated perfect speaks to us of being complete or mature. It's a word that's used to describe someone who has reached a full age. They've grown to maturity. And what James is saying is that if a person has reached that point in their life where their tongue is a sanctified instrument that doesn't cause him to fall into sin, that man has reached a level of spiritual maturity. We've used the illustration before, but it stands well again this morning. When you go to the doctor for a checkup, one of the first things that they will ask you to do is open your mouth and stick out your tongue, because it reveals so much of your overall health. If you want to know how well you're doing in your growth as a believer, check your tongue. The less that your tongue causes you to sin, and the more that it complements the Savior, the farther you are along in your spiritual journey with the Lord. So it is desirable to have a tongue that is sanctified, firstly because of the maturity it declares, and also because of the mastery that it demonstrates. James makes an almost incredible statement here in verse 2. He says that if a man could sanctify his tongue so that he doesn't sin with it, he says the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. James is saying that the whole body could be controlled if we could simply learn to control our tongues. A person can probably more easily keep their hand from stealing than their tongue from sinning. And he gives us two illustrations, that of the bridle on the horse and the rudder on the ship. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And then in verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. The horse is naturally wild and ungovernable, but it can have its fiery temper subdued and its movements regulated to the wishes of the rider. That's in spite of the fact that the horse is much larger, stronger, faster than the man. The whole body comes under control by placing a bit within its mouth. And James is amazed that such a large and powerful animal can be controlled by something as little as a bit between its teeth. So much so that the rider can get on the horse and direct its movements whatever way he wants just by turning the bit and bridle. Staggering, really. But what of the great ships? Some that weigh hundreds of tons, going through deep waves, facing strong winds, and yet they're turned with just a little rudder. So much so that the pilot can steer the ship wherever he wants it to go. You see what James is saying? That even though the tongue is so small, it's powerful. Don't underestimate the power of your tongue just because it's small. The taming of that tongue is one of the greatest challenges that you'll ever face. And the point that James is making here in verse 2 is that if we could get our tongue under control, we could bring the rest of the body to follow suit. Just think about it. If you could fully sanctify your tongue, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, your mind could be mastered as well. It's almost as if James is saying something like this. If you manage to climb Mount Everest, every other mountain becomes climbable. If you can control your tongue, every area of your life then will follow suit. That's why he says in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. It boasts because of how important and how influential it is over the whole of our lives. And it ought to be our desire as Christians to have a sanctified tongue, a holy tongue. And if it's desirable to have a sanctified tongue, it's dangerous to have a sinful tongue. A tongue that is brought under the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit is something that we ought to desire. On the other hand, a tongue that is let loose and unbridled is dangerous and devastating. And James describes vividly the hazards of a tongue that's let free to speak as it pleases. How destructive it can be. Behold, he says in verse 5, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a little fire. It only takes a spark to burn down a forest. A little fire can blow up into a raging inferno. The tongue is a fire, he says in verse 6. The tongue is a fire. Just one spark can be destructive, burning down everything in its path. The great fire of London in 1666 that devastated that huge city started with a baker burning some cakes in Pudding Lane. The whole city set ablaze. Thousands, tens of thousands of lives lost, properties destroyed. But then I don't need to remind you of that. I'm sure you've all seen bushfires that have raged across Australia, destroying property, livestock, and vegetation and lives, sometimes because of a careless spark. Now I bring that back to the tongue. One word of gossip, one critical comment, one short angry insult can ignite a burning controversy that destroys lives and families and reputations and churches. The sinful tongue is dangerous because of how destructive it can be. It's a fire. And behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. Have you ever seen a story just get out of control? A word of gossip that spread to someone, and before you know it, the whole community has heard it. The tongue is a fire. It can be destructive. Not just destructive, it can be defiling. The tongue is a fire, he says in verse 6, a world of iniquity. Literally, the tongue is its own universe of sin. And the sin that's associated with the tongue is so vast and so far-reaching that James says that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And that phrase, course of nature, at the end of verse 6, is difficult to translate, but it basically means the wheel of life. Or the whole of life. And if your life were to be represented by a wheel, at its hub, at its center is the tongue. And when the hub goes on fire, it's not too long before all of the spokes become ablaze. He's pointing to the fact that that little fire started by the tongue quickly spreads into every area of your life. Remember our Savior said in Matthew 15 and verse 11, that it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. Because what comes out of the mouth comes out of the heart. And the tongue can corrupt and defile the entire body from the inside out. It sets on fire the whole course of nature. A little tongue that can ruin and defile a life. A lying tongue that can break down relationships and destroy every opportunity that you have. A gossiping tongue that can destroy reputations. How sinful and how destructive our tongues can be. How defiling. How devilish. Notice what James says there in verse 6. The very end, that this tongue that's on fire is set on fire of hell. Literally, the fuel that feeds our sinful tongues comes from the pit of hell. Whenever we say things that are harmful or hurtful or hateful to one another, we have allowed our tongues to become an instrument of Satan. You think back to the day of Pentecost, and we're told that cloven tongues of fire fell from heaven. Well, unfortunately today, it's too often fires from the other place that sets our tongues ablaze. If you've ever watched a ventriloquist at work, how they're able to throw their voice to such a degree that everyone in the audience is focused on the dummy whose mouth is merely moving at the working of buttons that are being pushed. Sometimes I fear that while our mouths are moving, we have just become dummies. Our buttons pushed by the powers of hell. Our tongue set on fire of hell. We have allowed our tongue to become an instrument of the wicked one. That's what James is warning us of here. A tongue that is not surrendered to the Spirit of God is a dangerous instrument when it falls into the hands of the wicked one. During wartime, posters were often displayed saying, "Loose lips sink ships." That a word carelessly spoken can have devastating consequences for everyone else. Well, truthfully, it can be even more damaging than that. It's desirable to have a sanctified tongue. And it's dangerous to have a sinful tongue. But oh, how difficult it is to have a safe tongue. And understanding the devastating potential that rests in that little organ called the tongue, can we ever afford to deal casually or carelessly with it? Well, not according to James. He says in verse 8 that the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The fact of the matter is, there is almost no such thing as a safe tongue. No one can ever reach that point this side of heaven where they will no longer have to watch what they say. Why is it so difficult to have a safe and reliable tongue? Well, James says in verse 7, because no man can tame it. Every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed, but the tongue can no man tame. The strongest animals have been harnessed by men and put to work. The wildest beasts have been tamed and subdued. The word tamed here is used of the word that describes how they brought oxen under the yoke, or the breaking in of wild horses, the domesticating of wild animals. And yet, as amazing as those feats are, James says no man can tame the tongue. No man has ever so mastered his own tongue that he has it completely under control. You may bite your tongue at times. You may hold your tongue at times. But you will never completely tame your tongue. And just the very moment that you think you have a hold upon it, it will get loose and it will destroy and it will defile. I've always loved the story told of the inscription on an old tombstone in a graveyard in England. It simply says, "Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue." Try as you may, it is only when our tongue lies silent in the grave that it will ever be tamed. It's difficult to have a safe tongue, because no man can tame it. No man can tame it. Not only can we not tame it, but we can't trust it. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. That word unruly simply describes something that can't be governed, something that can't be controlled or kept down. It's also full of deadly poison. And we can't help but have in our mind the image of a snake that's curled up and hissing and ready to strike and unleash its venom. How like our tongues, so unpredictable. So unruly, this little member so dangerous, because when it gets out of control, it can unleash a poison of venomous words. Our mouths can be filled with verbal poison. Our tongues armed with toxins that can erode and destroy everything around us. Would you ever play so carelessly or casually with a venomous snake? Of course you wouldn't. Would you ever handle casually deadly poison? Of course not. And in much the same way, we can't afford to be lax and careless with our tongues. We can never just assume that our tongue is going to behave itself. We can no more trust our tongue than we would play games with a venomous snake or drink poison. It's difficult to have a tongue that is safe. And in spite of how wild and wicked our tongues can be, and how difficult it is to have one that's safe, I would suggest to you that it's not impossible either. Now, I draw your attention back to something that's said in verse 8. The tongue can no man tame. No man has the ability to tame the tongue. However, that which is impossible for man is not impossible for God. And the Holy Spirit can tame even the most venomous of tongues. I can think of the example of some who before their conversion, that every other word was a word of cursing. And the Lord, having saved them, cleansed their tongues. But even beyond that, the Holy Spirit can tame our tongues. And with that in mind, our prayer ought to be what we read in Psalm 141 and verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. It ought to be our desire to have a sanctified tongue. It ought to be our prayer that the Lord would take control of our mouths and overcome that dangerous and destructive tongue and instead use it for His glory. How can we do that? How did the Lord accomplish these things? Well, we ought to think before we speak. The book of Proverbs, when you read through it, repeatedly warns us of the danger of hasty speech. When thy words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 10 and 19. He who guards his lips guards his life. He who speaketh rashly will come to ruin. We need to learn to give our tongues to the Lord. Ask Him to hold them, to keep our mouths. Have it sanctified. We know how much trouble we've caused in the past when we've let our tongues loose. Oh, that we were more careful. Before you begin to speak or to talk of another, we should always ask this question: is it true? And we ask ourselves, not only is it true, but is it kind? And then we ask, is it necessary? Do I need to share these things? Do I need to say these things? Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? The poet said, be careful of the words you say, to keep them soft and sweet, for you never know from day to day which ones you'll have to eat. That tongue that has the potential to minister in the things of God, to speak of Christ, to tell others of the Saviour, to build up in faith and to encourage. That's how the Lord would have our tongues used. To be able to say, as we sang with Wesley this morning, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. Let our tongue be that unruly evil, that fire that kindleth a great matter, set on fire and with the very nature of hell itself, full of deadly poison. Let our tongues be used for God and for His glory, to speak with Him, to speak for Him, to speak about Him, to praise Him with our lips and with our mouths. I came across a little prayer that seems very fitting with which to end this message. Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. Amen. And the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning. Let's just bow in prayer. Gracious Father, oh, we realize all too well the devastating nature of our tongues, how quick they are to tear down, how quick they are to be filled with poison, how abusive, how quick to insult, how cutting they can be, truly how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Oh, we pray, our Father, for sanctified lips and sanctified tongues that are used rather to build up Thy people and to encourage the saints of God and to warn the lost, lips that will be filled with praise and thanksgiving for the Lord, a tongue that's employed even in the service of the saints. Oh, grant us such a sanctified use of our tongue. We know that no man can tame the tongue. Therefore we ask that Thy Holy Spirit might come and use our tongues for the glory of Thy great name. We do ask these things in Christ our Saviour.